Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Shayna. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy to have you here on board. So I want to tell our listener, Shayna is my go-to fan fiction, especially when it comes to Dry Moiny, go-to resource. We're going to talk about fan fiction, which is different from books that typically we talked about, but it's something that brings us just as much joy and as much escape as any other medium of communication. And so Shayna's going to talk about like proper use, do's and don'ts for fan fiction, some getting to know the Dry Moiny world, which is very popular. And some recommendations and a fan fiction recommendation. So now you know what you can go for next. Shayna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. No, I am super excited to chat about fan fiction today. It's something that found me during COVID. Well, refound me, of course. And I think that it's definitely becoming more and more popular, especially with Manacled being talked about a lot on Book Talk. And so I love talking about it and making sure that everyone knows the proper etiquette for how to engage with it so we can keep the community safe. So this is a great opportunity to do that.
So first things first, how did you get started with fanfiction? I know you mentioned 2020, but you probably were before 2020. What were some of your little deep dives into the fanfiction world?
Absolutely. So I've always been a Tumblr girly when I was younger.
Yes.
And of course, on Wattpad as well. I was reading so much fanfic as a child. I honestly am not sure if that's a good thing, but I feel like that was the case for a lot of us. And of course, I've always been a huge fan of Harry Potter. And I was getting to the point where I'd read the books so many times and I wanted new content. But of course, when a series is finished, there's no new content. And that's what I thought, at least. And then during COVID, I saw a TikTok for a fan fiction. And it was actually a Marauders fan fiction called All the Young Dudes, which you may have also heard of.
Yeah,
it's very popular. And I binge read that entire thing in, I think, 3 days. I was obsessed with it because it was this new content that I'd been looking for so long. And then from there, of course, my For You page kind of took over and started seeding me all different sorts of recommendations. And I stumbled upon Dermione, which I love enemies to lovers. And I'd always thought that they'd be so good together. So when I saw that there was this whole world of fan fiction, I became obsessed. And during COVID, of course, like this was such a form of escapism for me. I was reading hundreds of fan fictions. And I think this is a similar time that it found a lot of other people as well. We kind of fell back into these childhood things that we liked. And fan fiction, specifically Dermione, was that for me. So,
okay, first things first, we got to be specific. What is Dermione? Which characters say fail? Because we might have listeners who have no idea. And they wouldn't have even read Harry Potter. So we're gonna go specific. I'm like, okay, who's Draco? Who's Hermione? And why they're like, it's this big fandom.
Okay, so basically it's Draco Malfoy and Hermione Granger. So, of course, in the world of Harry Potter, Hermione Granger, she is in Gryffindor. She's best friends with Harry Potter, and she's a part of the so-called Golden Trio. So she's one of the main characters. And then we have Draco Malfoy, who's kind of viewed as a villain, but not really a villain, because there's much bigger villains in the story. But when they're young, he's a villain to them as children. He's in the kind of opposing house Slytherin. And he's kind of the opposite of everything that the Golden Trio is. So he's rich, he's well-connected, he's viewed as very pretentious, and he's a quote-unquote pure blood, which that I will probably get into at some point. But of course, he is basically the diametric opposite of Hermione Granger in every way. And there's a lot of encounters they have as children and growing up where they are enemies. So there's always this kind of tension. But one thing I do want to quickly talk about is just the fact that when it comes to fan fiction, the characterizations of these two people have been expanded far beyond that of the books. We have something called fanon versus canon. Canon is everything that is in the published material, so the books and the movies. anything fanon or things that the fans have created that just have become kind of like widely accepted. So oftentimes people, they're like, okay, but he's her bully. He's a villain. He's this, he's that. But the fanon characterization of Draco is a lot more in depth than that that was explored in the books. So it's Draco Malfoy, but it's then expanded far past what J.K. Rowling wrote about.
And so let's talk about proper use of fan fiction before we get into the Hermione world and whatnot. What's the proper use? Because I know there's a lot of misinformation about fan fiction, from selling book bindings, from rating on Goodreads and doing different places.
So I think the bottom line for engaging with fan fiction is that we have to remember that this is copywritten material. So anybody in the fandom cannot be profiting off of the world that J.K. Rowling has created in any way. So, of course, there's ins and outs and gray areas when it comes to this. But the key is that because it is copyright, fanfiction falls under this thing called fair use. And, of course, I'm not a lawyer, so I always recommend people look further into it. But basically, fair use is this concept in law that allows for limited use of copyright material without obtaining permission from the copyright holder. So, in this case, the author. And so, when it comes to fan fiction, this only applies when it's transformative in nature. So that's why, because fan fiction, we're taking these characters, we're taking the universe, and we're doing new things with them. But this is only valid when there's no money being made. And so, of course, fan fiction authors, and I'm going to talk about this a lot, they are not being paid for the work that they are doing. We are doing this from the goodness of our heart, putting this out on the internet for the community to enjoy. It's not like a traditional author where they have a team of editors and everyone involved in the process. It's just normal people doing this outside of their work hours just because they want to. But the key here is that we're not making any money. So fanfiction authors, they have never really been, quote unquote, a problem. They're doing this for free. They don't expect any money, of course. What's kind of come up in the past little while, well, I think it's been an ongoing on and off issue, is the concept of bookbinding. So since fanfiction is online, you cannot purchase physical copies. And I often see people commenting on TikToks being like, where can I buy this book? And myself and other people who are in the community are quick to respond and say, please do not buy this anywhere, because there's people selling PDFs of this on Etsy where it is freely accessible. So please, if you're going to take one thing away from this entire episode, never pay for fanfiction, okay? It should never be behind any kind of paywall. But yeah, so there's bookbinders, and they're basically creating beautiful art, don't get me wrong, printing out these books, binding them into these beautiful handbound copies that you can have. But where this kind of enters into that gray area of legality is the fact that then there's money being exchanged. And so with fanfictions like Manacled becoming so popular, you know, really popular authors, they're not going to bother themselves with, you know, if a few copies are being sold here and there. But when there's a massive blow up about this one fan fiction on the internet, there's no doubt that it's eventually going to make it back to their legal team, right? And so if legal action is taken on this one book that's being printed and people are profiting off of it, that can put the entire community at risk. And that's kind of the problem, because then they're going to start investigating all Hermione fan fictions. So that's why everyone's kind of like, please don't do this. Please don't do this, because it's such a beautiful thing that's been created, and it's so lovely to be a part of the community. And so when new people, and probably people who have been in the fandom for a while, start doing things that involve money, it's just opening up this sea of possibilities that could put the entire fandom at risk. So that's kind of why a lot of people are very outspoken about this issue. Now, of course, if someone is a bookbinder and they bind a copy for you and they gift it to you, that's fine. It's a gift. But if I'm e-transferring someone $150 for this bound fan fiction, then I'm technically paying for the words that are being printed that involve characters that are copyright. So that's why it's technically illegal. So that's kind of the overarching issue. However,
I think the other thing is, because the other part is like, well, I'm trading you other special editions. So you're trading things that can be sold. So it should be a gift. Like, there should not be a tit for tat kind of situation. Like I give you something, you give me something back. It just needs to be given freely without any conditions upon.
Exactly. And so, for example, I wrote a fan fiction, and this lovely binder, Athena Bindery, She bound it for me, sent it to me so I could have a physical copy of it as the author, but never was any money exchanged for that. Yeah. And so that worked, like, that's okay. But in general, a lot of binders now are kind of stopping any kind of like sending out of their work, and they're encouraging people to learn to bind themselves.
Yeah.
To remove that full kind of transfer of goods that could be viewed as illegal. So that's kind of the main thing. Then there's kind of more like micro ways to engage with fan fiction, like you touched on with Goodreads. And so kind of the big one, obviously, do not buy or sell fan fiction. That's the overarching one. And this involves any kind of fan fiction material, putting it behind a paywall. Sometimes people will create, you know, typesets of fan fiction that then you can print out, and it will resemble, you know, like a published novel in terms of how it's formatted. But they'll put this behind a paywall, such as like a Patreon. This is also, you know, falling into that this could be illegal territory. So we always just say, like, no monetary exchanges. We should also always read fanfiction authors' policies regarding their work. So a lot of people will have on their AO3, which I'll get into, or their social media is like, please don't print out my books, or, you know, please don't engage with it in this way, just because it is their work that they've done. And they're asking, you know, I don't want to be held legally liable if you pay money for this. And, you know, so always respect fanfic authors' wishes regarding their works. Then there's kind of more, I don't know, micro things even further, like, you know, not messaging authors demanding to know when they're going to update their fanfiction. So this is something that, you know, people do all the time. And I know that it often comes from a really pure place of like, I'm so excited about this story and I want to read more. But sometimes the way that people go about it, it just comes across as maybe a little more disrespectful than they intended. Like I said, these authors, you know, they're doing it in their free time. For example, Manacled, it's known that Sun Lin Yu was writing this on her phone during her child's nap time. So like I said, it's just very like casual form of writing. You know, like, for example, I have a full-time job. I was doing this while I was a full-time student. So it's, of course, on the back burner when real life happens. It's not my career. And so oftentimes authors will feel so much pressure from the community where they're getting all these messages and comments like, when's the next chapter going to be up? When's the next chapter? And then it kind of makes them not want to write at all. So oftentimes I say, you know, you can say, oh, I'm loving your words, like positive encouragements, but leave out that added pressure of when you're going to be uploading. And then also fan fiction should not be added to sites like Goodreads, just because, as I've said, they are not published novels. They do not have teams of editors. They do not go through the formal publishing process. So there are going to be errors in these books. There are going to be things that you may not like about these books. And the problem that arises when people are uploading it to Goodreads is people are reviewing them as they would a published novel. They're giving it a star rating. They're saying, okay, really didn't like this. I hated this characterization. Thought this plot point was really underdeveloped. And again, these are just normal people who are taking time out of their day to write this. So on one hand, it's like, please do not upload them to Goodreads. There's different placeholders you can use on Goodreads because I know people want it to count towards their bulk. There's like a generic one just called fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so people log this multiple times throughout the year just so it counts as a book being read, because of course there's huge word count on that, but of course not adding official reviews to these. And additionally, just in general, like, negative feedback is so unnecessary when it comes to fanfic. You know, people making videos, putting certain fan fictions on blast for things they don't like. My rule is just, if you don't like it, DNF it and move on. Mm-hmm. It's like, if it's not for you, that's fine. You will never see me putting a fic on blast on my social media, because I don't know, that fanfic author could be watching that video. You know, like, they're just normal people watching this video. Part of being a published author is dealing with criticism and feedback because it's your job. But with fanfic authors, that's not the case. And it's just so unnecessary. So, you know, sometimes I may even start reading fic, decide I don't like it, and then I just simply don't make videos about it, because that's it. So those are kind of the big overarching rules that I think everyone needs to know, is just recognizing that fanfiction and books are very different things and taking the time to educate themselves about the ways to properly engage with fanfiction.
Yeah, I love this. And so let's talk about where to find fanfiction and what to look for, because it can be AOC, can be AO3, can be very overwhelming.
So there's kind of three main sources for fanfiction, and that is AO3, which is the short form for Archive of Our Own, Wattpad, and fanfic.net. My personal favorite is Archive of Our Own. I always all my recommendations are on AO3. So I highly recommend that website. But like you said, it can be a little confusing to navigate. At first, I was completely lost. But one thing, my go-to tip is most fanfictions that you will see recommended are popular enough that if you simply Google the title with Jermaine after it, it will be the first thing that comes up. So the filtration searching system on AO3, I still, to be honest, do not know fully how to use it. So after years of reading. Yeah. So usually just Google the title with Jermaine after it and it will come up.
Yeah.
If not, it will be, you know, like a Tumblr that then links to the fic or whatever. I also have a database that I've created with the 160 so fics that I've recommended on TikTok. So that way people can easily find it. So it's just linked in my bio on my TikTok. And essentially you can search by trope and you can view the word count and the description. If I have cover art for it, I will add it to the database as well. Some of them, I even have EPUBs that you can download. Mm-hmm. So that you can then send it to your Kindle or read on your phone. And most importantly, it links directly to the fic. So it has kind of all the key information that you need, as well as a direct access point to this story. Just that way, I don't have people commenting on my videos being like, link, please, link, link, link. I'll think,
yep,
it's a database. So it's a good starting point. And then I have things marked as if they're my favorites or, you know, that kind of thing. So it's easy to kind of filter through that and then find fics that you can kind of delve into from there.
And your database will be linked in the show notes, along with your very thorough TikToks and Instagram account. So, which will have curated recommendations for your pleasure.
So. You.
Awesome. And so talk to us about word count, because I know that can be overwhelming when we see like a fanfic of like 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 words. What does that mean?
Absolutely. So, again, since these are not novels, they do not fall under kind of the restrictions put forward by the publishing industry when it comes to length. So you can find fanfics that are as short as 1,000 words, which we like to call one shots, or there's fanfics that are up to 1,000,000 words. I've seen fanfics longer than the Bible. I have some that I've read that are over 700,000 words.
Okay.
And average published novel is around 85,000 to 100,000 words. So some of these fanfics are like 7 times the length of an average novel. So some of them are a commitment. One thing I will say, and that's one of my favorite things about fan fiction, is it's so easy to get into these stories because we already know the characters and we already know the world. So in a lot of books, especially fantasy, you know, there's so much world building going on that it can get a little overwhelming in the beginning trying to find your place in this story. But with fanfic, you already know all that. So you're able to really often just jump right into plot. And that's why we're able to kind of power through such long stories. But yeah, some of these stories are like series long stories following these two characters. And so at first, I think this can seem a little daunting. But once I'm reading a fic on my Kindle, I will be cruising through it. And I'll realize I've read 3 books worth of a fanfic. Yeah. In a couple of days, you know, because it's so easy to get into. And the writing is so, I say simple, and I say this in a really good way, because it's not necessarily over the top and wordy and confusing. It's just like so easy to comprehend and follow. And that's what I also love. It's just really easy to process. So yeah, the word count can be a little daunting, but I always tell people, you know, start smaller if you want and work your way up. Or you can do the opposite like I did and just start with a massive one and kind of then realize that there's shorter options available. Kind of depends on who you are as a reader.
And I think also the one thing I noticed for fanfiction, my experience has been that they're more quick paced to read because they tend to end in cliffhanger. So you just want to keep reading the next chapter, the next chapter, the next chapter. There's something to be said about that even exchange of like the author just giving you the story and having the feedback from your audience saying like, hey, I need to know. And there's like, what's the next chapter? Like the story moves forward, even though it doesn't feel like it. It's like really long. It's just such a good story that you just want to keep doing it. You know?
Absolutely. And a lot of fan fictions are written as WIPs, which is just work in progress. So that's where the author is posting chapters as they write them. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool because then it becomes almost like a TV show where you're up to date and you're waiting for the next update, which is something that we don't necessarily have with published novels unless it's a series and you're waiting for the newest one to be put out. But so yeah, a lot of these chapters end on cliffhangers. And I think it's from this kind of WIP structure because authors, you know, are like, okay, here's this chapter. And then sometimes as a WIP, you can't keep reading. You have to wait for this next chapter to drop. But yeah, I think a lot of authors intentionally will end on cliffhangers. And then that's why these are so addicting to read, because it'll end like right as, you know, there's, it's like mid battle and then Hermione notices something and then the chapter ends and you're like trying to go to bed. It's 2 a.m. and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to read one more and you're going to keep going. And
Yeah. So don't be intimidated by the word count, because there's something to be said about it's just going to keep asking for more and more and more and more. And it's just this is a fun escape that you're just doing. You're going back to see your friends, your characters, and just get to see them in new adventures. And it's so like you have a new world reimagined. Or if you're angry about, I discovered fan fiction because I was angry about the ending of The Summer I Turned Pretty. I remember reading the trilogy and I was so angry. I was like, wait, there's like, this doesn't make sense. Make it make sense. And I went to fan fiction and to have somebody else to bring me closure with that trilogy.
Yes. And I mean, almost every fandom has fan fiction for it. Like if there's a TV show or a movie or even a book series that you're obsessed with and you want more, Archive of Our Own will have something. I've read Zutara, which is like Zuko and like, well, from After the Last Airbender. Yeah. A lot of Star Wars fan fiction. Yep. Like there's so much. So yeah, like you said, like I'll be specifically obviously talking about Hermione today, which is Harry Potter, but there is a whole world of fan fiction out there.
Yeah.
For every series ever. So yes.
There's Harry Styles fan fiction. Rito, and there's a lot of work that has been printed. A lot of authors have come up from the fan fiction world. We know from the Twilight world. We know from the Harry Styles kind of world. We know, like, so it's there. And even Manacle, like the author is actually going to be a published author. So we have, this is a pipeline for our authors to move into published work and for them to earn money. But this is where they get started. This is where they practice. This is where they hone in their craft.
Absolutely. And like you said, there's actually quite a few authors that I want to say in the past year have been picked up by representation.
Yeah.
Kind of saying, hey, it's obvious you know how to write a story.
Yeah.
You know, one with OCs and I'll get you published kind of thing, because there's this trilogy in the Hermione fanfiction world called the Rights and Wrongs series.
Yep.
And that author, Julie Soto, she has published two novels now. And the whole fanfiction community, when we see she's getting published, we're like, okay, we're going to buy this. We want to support her because we've loved her stories for so long. So now I want to be able to buy it. And I got sent an ARC and I loved it. And it's like the same kind of tension that is present in all her fanfics is present with these OCs. And I'm so happy that now she's able to be a published author after giving us free art for years. So yeah.
Yeah. So it's exciting. So this is exciting world. So now let's try some recommendations. There's different within the Hermione fandom. There's different periods, times, essence. And so you're going to sprinkle a little bit of the different time periods and different fandom, like different areas.
Yes, absolutely. So you'll hear people talking about kind of in the world of recommendations. They'll say, okay, I'm going to give you some 8th year fix or post-war fix. And as you get more familiar with fanfics, you'll find ones that are kind of your preference and the ones that you like the best. So there's kind of something for everyone, but there's kind of some broad categories that most fanfics fall into. So we have wartime fanfictions. So if you've read Manifold, I consider this a wartime fanfic. It's things that are happening, obviously, during the war. So these are usually the darker fanfictions. It's usually very heavy on the Death Eaters, and usually Draco is a Death Eater. And so they're very high stakes kind of novels, and like novel lengths, I mean. And so for this one, of course, I wanted to talk about Manifold because this is everyone's favorite. Little side note, though, I know you started with Manacled, correct?
Yes, I did.
I recommend not starting with Manacled. I know so many people do, but I feel like just with the amount of trigger warnings it has, sometimes it can drive people in the opposite direction. So, I mean, of course, if you start with Manacled, that's fine. It was my third read, so
I have PTSD, and so it triggered my PTSD. So I think I'm like in the part of the flashbacks. That's where I ended up. Which is like not a good place to be. And so I was like, okay, and it's long. It's the writing is spectacular. So I'm excited for her original work because I'm like actually excited for it. But it has a lot of trigger warnings. And if you have PTSD of like SA and like war and like lots of like high stakes or unwanted pregnancy, like this is a really tough one to read.
Exactly. And so a lot of wartime fics, especially, really get into these dark themes. And one thing I will say, the authors are so talented at discussing really dark and traumatic events. And I know for a fact that a lot of authors process their own traumas yeah. through writing these stories. However, yeah, so kind of also for any fic, you should be reading the tags. So when you're looking at the fic at the top, it gives the title, you know, the word count and all that, but it also has tags. And authors will put trigger warnings in there so that if there's something that you absolutely cannot read about, because of course we all have these topics, that way you quickly avoid the story without getting into it and then all of a sudden being faced with one of these topics.
Yeah.
So of course, Manifold is firstly based on The Handmaid's Tale. So if you are familiar with that story, you can see that there would be a lot of themes, like you said, of essay and all of this. And so if you have any kind of trauma regarding that subject, I usually say, you know, especially don't start with this fic.
Yeah.
There's so many lighter, fluffy, idiots in love kind of options that you can still link the community without, you know, hurting yourself. So Manacled is kind of the way that people usually find themselves in the fandom. And this is one of those arc, what we call Voldemort Wins AUs. AU is alternate universe. So if you see, like, people always say Voldy wins AU, that just means that after the final battle, instead of Harry winning, Voldemort wins. And so then we descend into this, like, Death Eaters are taking over the wizarding world and how they go about things. So there's, of course, Manifold. We also have The Auction, which is by Julie Soto. Her fan fiction name is Love's Bitcat 8.
Yeah.
And this is part of the Rights and Wrongs series. So I think this trilogy is such a good example of how important the fandom is to authors and vice versa. So she was writing The Rights and Wrongs, which are the right thing to do and all the wrong things. So this is a story post-war. It's definitely lighter. It's not a Voldemort Wins AU by any means. And in this story, she references an auction, and it's kind of this plot point where, you know, Draco says, yeah, like if he won, he was going to do this auction thing. And then people in the comments were like, can you write this? Can you write this auction? Like, we want to read it. And so because she's an angel sent from heaven above, she then wrote The Auction, which is a whole other fanfic about what would have happened if Voldemort won.
Yeah.
And then we have this dark AU as well, but it's not as dark as Manacled. So I kind of, you're wanting to get into the darker stuff, but not necessarily be traumatized, you can go for The Auction by Love's Bitcat 8.
Do I need to read the first two? Because that's my concern. I was like, I had three of them downloaded. I was like, very excited. I was like, okay, maybe this will work. And then I was like, do I need to read the first two books just to get a sense of it and then go to The Auction? Or can I read The Auction first? What's the reading order in this case?
We 100% read The Auction as a standalone. Like, it, you don't need the context of the first two, but I find it much more impactful if you have read the first two.
Okay.
Because, of course, there's so many parallels, because it's essentially like the same story, quote unquote, but if Voldemort won. And so when you've read the first two, you know what they could have had.
Yeah.
If, you know, Voldemort hadn't won. And so you're kind of really attached to this, like, love story that they have post-war. And it's much more like coworkers, idiots in love, mutual pining. Like, it's much more contemporary romance.
Yeah.
And so in this dark one, when you're reading what's happening and going on, you're just like, oh my gosh, they could have had what we know happened in The Rights and Wrongs, but this is what happened. So of course, totally, it does stand alone, but I'd honestly recommend reading the whole trilogy. The full effect.
Okay. I think maybe reading Star Wars for the Rights and Wrongs first is might be a better entry for me, because it's more contemporary, and then go into the darker themes. You're ready for it. You're in the right mood for it.
Absolutely. And that's actually the first fanfic for Hermione that I read was The Right Thing to Do.
Yeah.
And then I saw, oh, there's a Draco POV. And I love when there's like multi POVs in romance novels. So I was like, okay. So then I read All the Wrong Things, which is Draco's POV. And then I was like, what is, oh my gosh, she wrote The Auction. And then I read that. So I was kind of, that was kind of my full intro into Hermione. And I always recommend people starting there, because you kind of get a taste of a bunch of different tropes and you can kind of see what your preference is from there.
Yeah. Perfect. All right. Give us some other recommendations. Now that we met through the darkness, what other recommendations do you have for us?
Absolutely. So another really, really popular fan fiction that people love is Draco Malfoy and the Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love. Mm-hmm. Which is shortened to De Matmobile. And so now people call it Batmobile. So if you ever hear someone talking about Batmobile, they mean Draco Malfoy and the Mortifying Ordeal of Being in Love, because it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
This author actually also just got representation, and she is going to be writing her own novel as well, which I'm super excited about. I'm hoping to get an arc of that. But this one is a classic post-war fic. Essentially, in this, Hermione is a magical researcher, but she also has degrees in the muggle world as a healer and doctor. And she's just obviously so smart, so engaged And she's about to make a really big discovery. And this is kind of part of the plot, so I don't want to tell you what said discovery is. But she's a medical researcher and healer. And Draco is an Auror. And he's assigned to protect her on these outings that she's doing. She's going on all these little trips for her research. And because of the research she's doing, she's kind of at risk from a certain community. And so the Aurors are like, we need to assign someone, like a protective detail, to be with her at all times. And so Draco has to start going on all these trips with her. And he's like just so frustrated because he's trying to do her job and she doesn't want him there. So we have this kind of still like enemies to lovers. Hermione's super competent and fiery in this fic. And Draco's like kind of lazy, but he's also obviously like dangerous. Like he's a very talented Auror. And it's a slow burn. Like they're not even making physical contact in the first like third of the book. Like they're still just getting to know one another. But this is a absolute favorite of mine. The writing is so good. She writes banter so well. And everyone just loves this fic. So this is another one that's a really great kind of intro to Hermione if you're wanting to get into it, because I find the characterizations to be really good. And it's also super accessible because it reads like a rom-com. So it's kind of familiar to people in that way.
Yeah, I love this. I may bump this one up too. So I'm like, you're giving me the recommendations that I need. I can spend the summer just being in this fandom.
It's been like, I also thought, oh, it's gonna be a cute little few months of a hyperfixation, and it's like 2 years later and I'm still here, so
who knows.
But yeah, so that's kind of one of the main post-war ones. A lot of fiction nowadays post-war. There's of course other ones being written that take place during Hogwarts era.
Mm-hmm.
I found that when I was younger I enjoyed Hogwarts era a lot more, just because it's, there are kids in it, you know? Yeah. So I love reading a post-war where there are adults. There's nothing wrong, of course, with Hogwarts era. My favorite is that the fandom has created this concept of eighth year where they go back after the war to finish their education. Because, of course, all of them kind of missed out on seventh year. So Hogwarts opens up to eighth year. They all get to go back. And so all of them are like 18 or 19. So this is how we kind of get around,
the new adult.
Yeah, they're adults, but like, they are still at Hogwarts, so we still get the kind of like Hogwarts era content. Yeah. So there's a bunch kind of in this realm. There's one called The Eagle's Nest that was one of the first read. And it's an eighth-year fic, but it's a resorting fic. And so to promote inter-house unity, McGonagall makes all the upper-year students be resorted. She's like, you've all been changed so much. Like, I think that you'll find that you have a lot in common with other people from other houses. And so they all get resorted, and Draco and Hermione both end up in Ravenclaw. And so that's why it's called The Eagle's Nest. And so then everyone's resorted, like Ron's down in Hufflepuff, you know, Harry's in Slytherin. And so the Golden Trio is broken up. And it's so good because it kind of like allows us to get to know new characters. And it has Draco and Hermione getting to know each other in a like, way that isn't this like they're in opposing houses banter kind of way.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's this eighth year concept and there's a lot of fics written in eighth year, which I love. A classic also that is kind of a Hogwarts era is Isolation. You may have heard of this one by Bex Chan. Essentially, instead of going on the Horcrux hunt, Hermione's left at Hogwarts during seventh year to help the Order. And Draco, after he fails to kill Dumbledore, is put in Hogwarts to be protected from both the Order and Death Eaters, because both kind of hate him now. So he's put in the head boy room with Hermione. So she's head girl. And so they're hiding him in the head boy room. And so she obviously hates him. This is kind of a classic. This is one that I feel like a lot of people read early on as well. And it deals a lot with unpacking Draco's blood prejudice kind of had going on. Hermione kind of makes it her goal to make him understand that she's not so different from him. So that's kind of a classic. And it's a seventh year AU. So again, that alternate universe. So a lot of authors will kind of pick one of the books, and if they write an AU, it's kind of like they change one key thing and then explore how that would change the entire storyline.
Yeah.
Isolation by Bex Chan is another really popular one. And one that is kind of a personal favorite for me that's also a seventh year rewrite is called The Disappearances of Draco Malfoy. And essentially, Dumbledore offers to help Draco when he's going to kill him. And how he does this is that he puts him in hiding with the Order of the Phoenix. So he's kind of being hidden from the Death Eaters, because Dumbledore knows he's just a child and that he's just making decisions based on what his parents and everyone wants of him. And this then involves Draco going on the Horcrux hunt with the Golden Trio. So a lot of people really, really like this one because, of course, Harry and Ron hate him in this, and Hermione's weirdly kind of being like, So I personally absolutely love the disappearances of Draco Malfoy. And a lot of people say, like, oh, I wish this was the real story of seventh year. Of like, it's so good. And then my final kind of one for the Hogwarts years is called Things We're All Too Young to Know, also a seventh year. But in this one, the Order sends Hermione to Hogwarts for seventh year, polyjuiced as Daphne Greengrass. So the Greengrass family comes to seek kind of refuge from the Death Eaters, and they want to be protected. And the Order says, yeah, if we can use your daughter's hair to send, you know, Hermione to Hogwarts. So Daphne spends the summer kind of trying to prepare Hermione how to act like a pure blood, because she's going to be living with all the Slytherins. And she's going to be head girl that year. And Draco is head boy. So they're at Hogwarts during the seventh year. And Hermione gets to see Draco when he doesn't think that anyone unfamiliar is around, when he's just amongst friends and kind of his like chosen family. And she realizes that he's completely different. He's actually very caring and empathetic towards those that he cares about. So it's a kind of a really cool twist on enemies to lovers, because they kind of start to have this relationship. But of course, he doesn't know it's Hermione. But one key thing I want to talk about here is that there's never any kind of romance between them until he knows it's Hermione. Okay. So we're like, okay, but I don't want to read about Daphne Greengrass and Draco. And that's kind of weird if she's in his body. There's nothing that goes on. It's more just her unpacking her prejudice about Draco while she's Daphne. And then he eventually figures out it's her. And that's when kind of the romance story starts. So yeah, those are kind of the main Hogwarts era recommendations I have. But yeah, I do love a Hogwarts era, but my heart does lie in the post-war.
Yeah.
Especially co-workers ones.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is called Things We Say in the Dark. Mm-hmm. And it is a Hogwarts professor's fic. So just to suggest, both Draco and Hermione are at Hogwarts as professors teaching, and this is kind of where they reconnect. So in this one, Hermione is the deputy headmistress, and Draco is coming back to be the potions professor. And there's little things like, you know, just banter at school. They have to collaborate and work together, but also they kind of take like some of the students on like a field trip. And it's just like, it's very wholesome, that kind of like more rom-com feel.
Yeah.
But this author, Rubber Soul 02, does a fantastic job of writing tension and slow burn and kind of exploring human emotions and everything. They have some other works as well that I highly recommend. And that's one thing I will quickly say. If you find a story that you really like, you can click on the author's name, and chances are they've written some other things as well. So an easy way to support the authors as well.
There's a lot of what I wanted to talk about.
Can I talk about tomorrow? Is that okay?
You can. Okay. You're more than welcome to.
Beautiful. Okay. So Remain Nameless by Hey Jude 19. This is another post-war one. And essentially, Draco and Hermione run into one another at the Muggle coffee shop. So Hermione goes there every morning. One morning, Draco's there a little later than he usually is, and he sees Hermione, and she's like, what are you doing here? This is a Muggle coffee shop. And he's like, I know it is. I come here every morning. And then they slowly, weirdly get to know one another, like as adults post-war. And it's a really, really good exploration of like Draco's redemption and how he becomes kind of a quote-unquote good person and is able to unlearn everything that he learned as a child in terms of like being a pure blood and that he's, you know, quote-unquote superior to others. So Remain Nameless is kind of like a cult classic. I feel like most people, when they get into Hermione, they do read this one at some point because it is just so good. And it's like, I would say in a mid-length one, it's 300,000 words, so it's not too long. But yeah, this one's really, really good because he kind of starts being like, I want to get to know Hermione. Like, I feel like this is a good chance. So he starts going to the coffee shop more. She also kind of weirdly wants to get to know him. So it's really like wholesome, and it's a really good intro to kind of post-war. And then a longer option that is also very popular is called Measure of a Man by In a Daze 22. It's almost 600,000 words, so it's a long haul.
Yeah.
But in this one, Narcissa Malfoy essentially has dementia. Like she's developing dementia. It's kind of like a magical variant of it.
Yeah.
And the lead researcher in this field of healing is Hermione Granger. And so she gets brought in by Theo Knott to basically try and cure Narcissa. He's like, money's not a problem. They're going to pay you whatever you need. You need to go help her. You need to save her. And so she basically starts not living at the manor, but like she's there all the time because she insists on cooking all of Narcissa's meals from her own personal garden. And yeah. She has like a holistic approach to healing. A lot of people say this is like cottage for Hermione because she is kind of like a recluse and she has this cottage with a massive garden. And this fic, which really gets me, is that technically Draco had been married to Astoria and Astoria had passed away, but he has a child. He has Scorpius. And he's a dad in this fic and he's kind of like single parenting. And Scorpius has not spoken since his mother died. Like he's really struggling. But he starts to really warm up to Hermione. Like, he really likes her. And so Scorpius is kind of the initial force that drives the two of them together because Draco is just so happy that his son is, like, experiencing joy. And, of course, Hermione feels so bad for this little boy who lost his mother. And it is just, gosh, it is such a good exploration of Draco as a character, of Hermione as a character. And so a lot of people really, really love this fic as well.
I am bumping this one up so much because I love single dad and I love cottagecore. It's just like, it's this idea of small town, you know, this very cozy space at the same time, single dad. And just there's the purpose. And yes, this is the one that I'm bumping.
You will love it. Oh my God, that sounds right up your alley.
Yeah.
It is fantastic. It's like, I always see little TikToks about it and it just makes me want to read it again. And I'm like, I don't have time for this right now. Some other of my personal favorites, just so that, you know, I have three kind of that I always recommend to people. One is called Meet Your Match by Morgan Mercy. This is a shorter one. So if you're looking for a shorter one, this is a good one. The concept is that Draco goes to Muggle University after Hogwarts. He's kind of trying to like separate himself from the wizarding world a little bit. Just mostly, I think, because of his association with the Death Eaters, obviously. And then Hermione has this childhood friend. And her childhood friend is married to who becomes Draco's best friend at this Muggle university. And so this couple's like, oh my gosh, we should set them up. These two would get along so well. Like, oh my gosh. And so they introduce each other. Like, they're like, hey, you guys should meet. They have them over. And they're like, yeah, we know each other from school. But of course, this couple doesn't know that they're magic. Like, they have not spoken to them about this. And so they keep having to go to these, like, joint hangouts at their friend's house. And, like, it's one of my favorite tropes, which is Draco Malfoy in the Muggle world. So it's, you know, him interacting with, like, Muggle appliances and figuring out how to be, like, a normal person that can't use magic.
Yeah.
And there's this one scene in it where they're playing heads up. Like, you know, that phone game?
Yeah.
And get each other to guess. And so Draco has it on his head and it says, like, the most power. Oh, it says Merlin on it. And so Hermione goes, the most famous wizard. And then Draco goes, Harry Potter. When her friends are like, isn't that your friend? And she's like, ha ha, he's just joking. It's Merlin. And he's like, oh, yeah. So, but then in this game, it also turns out that they know a lot about one another. Like, they'll say things. Oh, that thing that you were obsessed with, like, in sixth year, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, they'll make references and they're doing really well. And the couple's like, hey, look at us matchmaking. They're so good for each other. Yeah, so that's kind of, like, one of my favorites, like, Idiots in Love. It's just very, like, wholesome rom-com. I always met it as, like, a palate cleanser after, like, you know, a manacled type fic. That one. And also, I'm a huge, like, Pride and Prejudice Jane Austen girly. I don't know about yourself.
Yes, I am. As any other rom-com, you know, you gotta go Mr. Darcy and Original Enemies to Lovers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm obsessed. And there's this fic called Love and Other Historical Accidents. Yeah. And it is Regency era Hermione. However, it's a time turner fic. So, of course, we have the concept of time travel in a couple fics.
Yeah.
And so in this one, they are Unspeakable is basically researching time and time travel, the two of them. Yeah. So they're co-workers. So they're already kind of on good terms, but it's very like enemies to lovers at work. Like, they kind of banter a lot at work. And there's this thing that goes wrong while they're experimenting it in work. And they get transported back to Regency era in Wiltshire. And basically, they're trying to find a way to get home because their time turner's broken. But while they're doing that, they're just, like, kind of stranded in Regency era Wiltshire. And they, it's just so good because there's a lot of interaction with other pureblood families. So it's like the ancestors of the people that we know, like there's the long bottoms and Draco keeps breaking into Malfoy Manor because he like can get past the wards, but he's like stealing from his ancestors to try and do research. And it's just very like just classic historical romance and they're like, kind of falling in love. But Hermione's like, okay, but is it just because we're stranded in Regency era that I'm falling in love? And he's like dressed like this, like is that? You know, like, because they basically get taken in by this little family who I think kind of knows that they're time travelers. Like, they're really quirky and they're, like, protecting them from everyone else. It's just, like, it's so good. I put this one off for a really long time, but it's fantastic. And it's only 153,000 words. So
it's just like a workout of the book.
Yeah, exactly. So those are some of my like absolute personal faves. And then there's one that I wrote as well. So I recommend this with, you know, I wrote it. But it's called The Stars Above Us, and it's also a Hogwarts professor's pick. So Draco and Hermione are both there as teachers. So Hermione's teaching charms and alchemy. I nearly said chemistry as a combination of the two. And Draco's teaching potions. And it's also technically a second chance romance because that's one of my favorite tropes. So they did technically go and do their mastery together at Oxford, where they kind of first almost got together. And then they parted ways because Draco kind of got scared and Hermione got scared. And so them seeing one another at Hogwarts as professors is their first time seeing each other in a long time. And there's another ship called Wolfstar. Have you heard of Wolfstar?
Yeah.
And so it's Remus and Sirius. So this is what All the Young Dudes is about. It's a Wolfstar fanfic. But this is a ship that is really, really popular in the fandom. And I love Wolfstar. And so I wanted them to have like a happily ever after. And that's what you can do with fan fiction. So I said, okay, guys, for this fic, they're still alive. Okay. So there's actual tags for like Remus Lupin lives, Sirius Black lives. And you're just supposed to kind of like forget the things that led to their death, obviously, in this type of fic. So they get their happily ever after. They have a little cottage in Hogsmeade and they have an adopted daughter who's a student at Hogwarts at the time. And Hermione is like her godmother. And so my favorite thing, because my personal favorite Harry Potter book is the fourth with the Triwizard Tournament.
Yeah.
And so I kind of do something like that. So I created the International Confederation of Wizards Championship. So it's all seven wizarding schools come to Hogwarts for a championship. So we have the school from Africa, from Japan, from South America, like all these students are there. And Cassie, their adopted daughter, becomes the Hogwarts champion. So this is kind of the subplot that's going on, this championship with kind of getting to know all the other wizarding schools, because I found that so interesting when that all came out with the Fantastic Beasts universe, you know, learning about Ilvermorny here in the States. And like, anyways, so I was very excited about that. So I delved into that. And yeah, it's just them having this kind of second chance romance, being Hogwarts professors, was kind of the undertones of the Triwizard Tournament. So yeah, that's the one that I've written that I put out. But yeah, those are kind of my main recommendations, I think. There's hundreds I could recommend. And I forced myself to narrow it down to a very small list. It was no easy task.
I think you just gave me the perfect hyperfixation for the summer. So I love this. I love the fact they were like, okay, you don't need to go so dark. You can go for a little lighter. And there's a little bit of everything for everyone. Which is, I think it's like the assumption is like, oh, it's just enemies to lovers. They hate each other. It needs to go dark, dark. And it's like, no, it can be light. It can be contemporary. It can be Regency. It can be a little bit of everything. You can go back to school. It can be like college era.
Exactly. That's what I love is like there's kind of something for everyone.
Yeah.
And I tend to lean more towards that kind of fluffy idiots in love.
Yeah.
Like, you know, romance. But, you know, every now and then I'll indulge in a dark AU, end up sobbing, and then not read one for a couple months because I just can't deal with it.
Yeah.
But there's something for everyone. And I think that once people get into it, it's really hard to get out because there's just this like infinite world of content and it's all free. So.
Yeah. Shayna, tell us where you can find you online. Tell us about your TikTok, your database, and your Instagram.
Yes. So it's all under Shayna's Library on basically all platforms. My main two are TikTok and Instagram. I sometimes have book recommendations on there, but it is largely just fan fiction. So if that's what you're looking for, I try and keep it really organized and kind of easy to navigate just so it is accessible for people to find the fanfics they want to read. And then kind of my thick writing account is Embers of April, which I always have linked as well. But yeah, those are kind of my main sources. And if anyone ever has questions about fix or how to engage with them, I'm happy to answer DMs. I'm always answering DMs because I want that information to be accessible. So I'm happy to be a resource for people if they have questions while starting to get into this world.
Thank you, Shayna, for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading!
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.